Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
And it's time for Green Country Gardener on the radio on this Saturday morning. We did have some sunshine, but the overcast skies are finally here. Garrett Giles joining you, and again, we have the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass, joining us this morning. Larry, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good this morning.
Doing pretty good. That's awesome. That's really good. And you were talking about the weather before we came on. It's been kind of fluctuating between hot, cold, rainy, sunny. What's that do for, like, the garden and the trees and everything?
It's more of a challenge for the people, really, than it is the plants. So.
Yeah, because they don't know what to do with the
weather. It's not been that bad if you don't mind them breaking up in the storms, right. Falling apart. I don't know what this weather's going to bring. They're talking about some ugly stuff coming today, perhaps, and even Monday again.
Yeah.
So it'll give you just enough time to clean up the mess on Sunday, and here comes again on next week. So, golly, it's just Oklahoma weather in the spring.
Yeah.
And that comes to plant strength.
Plant strength.
In the weather. The storms actually do a bit, and the wind does a lot to strengthen plants. In other words, their branches are wiggling back and forth. They have to get stronger to hold themselves up. And if we don't have some occasional wind here and there, the trees aren't really as strong. You could also plant trees that have a history of being rather strong in their branching characteristics rather than fast-growing, weak-wooded comic book trees. Plant something that's going to last a while.
The whimsical trees.
Yeah, I want instant shade. Well, actually, we have planted big old red oak trees, and they have outgrown some of your fast-growing maples. Just the establishment takes a little bit more time. But in the long run, if you're going to be at your house for, say, 10 years or so, you might consider getting a sturdier growing tree.
What about a red bud?
Red buds are fine. They're kind of ornamental things. So if they fall over, so what?
Yeah.
But
I had to ask.
I don't think they're causing any structural. They don't cause any structural damage.
Right.
But usually red buds are pretty strong about holding themselves together. Unless they get really old and so on, then they kind of, like everything else, kind of falls apart when they get old.
Yeah.
So anyway, red buds are a good tree to have. And actually, the red buds did put on a very good show this year.
Okay.
And did you know that red buds are legumes?
I did not know that.
Yes, they're a leguminous plant. Look at the flower on there. It looks just like a pea or a bean flower.
You're right. You know, I actually, again, like I was saying, at my stepdad's house, I went over there. They live out towards Snowwater, and they've had this tree growing for, I don't know, probably 5 years now, and it's really looking great. And it does kind of look like a pea. You're right.
Uh-huh.
I was like, why does that look so familiar? What is it? What, like, I couldn't put it two to two together.
Put that together.
I needed Larry to explain it to me.
It's a giant pea tree.
Yep, giant pea tree. That's what they should have called it.
No, I probably wouldn't sell very many of them if they called it that. But anyway, they do, and they have the pods on there, which kind of resemble peas too, or beans, and they're legumes to the point where they resemble beans and peas in that respect. As far as them fixing nitrogen, I don't know that they have that ability or not. But anyway. So red buds are good trees. And there's so many variations in the red bud, too.
And what are some of those variations?
I do like the burgundy hearts. It's okay. A real good one. And there's a golden-colored one. And Merlot red bud. I really like it. The Merlot. It's kind of a purple Oklahoma red bud. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma red bud is a cross between a Chinese Cercus chinensis and Cercus canadensis, those two different species. Mm-hmm. And it typically they're grafted too onto a stalk or a redbud root stalk. But anyway, what I like about it is the leaves are a bit more leathery. They're kind of shiny. And leathery is a good point because the forest pansy redbud, which is an ungrafted variety from a long time ago, is one of the premier purple-colored redbud trees. Its leaves tend to tatter in the wind.
We were talking about that a little bit a while ago about the wind.
Wind
trees
tatter,
strength.
Yes.
Do they get stronger with the wind?
Yeah, but wind tatter is something that happens to the leaves. Imagine that tree being in the back of a pickup truck and you're driving from here to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
They're going to get beat up a little bit. Well, if you've got 50-mile-an-hour winds, they're going to get beat up a little bit. However, the Oklahoma redbud has a tendency not to do that, as does the Merlot redbud, because they have a denser constitution on a little stronger leaf, if you will. So,
what about the burgundy heart that you were mentioning?
It's just a little, a slight step above the forest pansy.
Okay.
You will get a little bit of leaf tatter, but not bad.
All right.
So anyway, redbuds are pretty cool plants. Right now, they're mine at home is just covered in seed pods. That's the, I remember talking about those in at the university in our design classes. Red buds are fine, but those seed pods, they're just, they can be notorious. And this year is going to be a record year for red bud seed pods.
And why is that?
The weather conditions are really conducive to them blooming pretty much for a fairly long period of time. Pollination occurred really well too as they were in bloom, and the weather was, all the conditions were just perfect, and now we've got a lot of seed pods. So they need to come up with a seedless redbud, then they'll have something.
Yeah. What other kind of trees are thriving at this moment?
Oh golly, this was a really good year for the saucer magnolia. They are very, very showy plant. This year, they're just covered in blooms. The star magnolias, they were actually in bloom for 2 weeks. Typically, you might get 2 hours if you're lucky at them. But they've been on a really nice show this year, as did the saucer magnolias. They were really spectacular this year. The dogwood trees this year could not be beat. So all the conditions were just right. We had a kind of a cold winter, which sometimes helps things bloom a little bit. And adequate moisture for trees for the winter. And a nice, cool, fairly calm spring.
And like you were saying, so about a month ago, we had like a freeze, right, too? It was cold like a month ago, like you were mentioning before.
Yeah, it was just 30 days ago, on the 18th, which is the last day after. It was, down in the 30s. So we really
constantly
haven't had
changing conditions
too long of
spring
yet.
Yeah.
Now, looking at the southern magnolias, we were talking about saucer magnolias and star magnolias. The southern magnolias look like they're going to put on a really good show of blooms this year. Now, don't be alarmed about your magnolia losing leaves. They typically shed their third-year leaves or second-year leaves, depending on their situation. Anyway, about 30 days from now, between now and, say, 30 days from now, the magnolias will start to drop leaves, which is perfectly normal.
And what other trees normally drop leaves around this time? Is it just the magnolia?
It's primarily the magnolia would be the one that would have some leaf drop on it. So,
and you said it's fairly normal for that to happen?
Yeah, it is normal.
Okay.
Right. Notice they're evergreen, so they don't, obviously they don't drop their leaves in the fall.
Right.
They have to pick a time when they can do that, and that is after they generate new leaves. They decide, well, I don't need this anymore. Your history, Bubba. Hit the floor.
Hit the floor, Jack.
Hit the floor, Jack.
Yeah.
And the leaves just fall down. But because of their growth started a little bit late this year, the magnolias. But I see a good flower bud development on them this year. So I think it's going to be a good year.
Was that because of kind of the late spring that we've had?
Yeah. All the weather conditions are favorable for them to do that, to the bloom and all that. So it's just really for trees, and the growth rate on a lot of them, I've noticed it's really really taken off. I have a water oak in my backyard, and it's grown more than a foot easily.
Wow.
So far this year, and it's not done yet. So we're going to see some big rings on the trees in 30 years when it falls over in a storm or something. You cut it, and oh yeah, there was 2019 right there.
Yep. It's right there in the
right there,
probably midway through the trunk and the
20 rings in. Wow, that was a good year.
Yeah, very good year. It's been a good year so far. Yes.
So I think things are looking really good. Another plant that's really doing very well are the nandinas. The dwarf nandinas have really popped out, and I cut mine back really low, two weeks ago. Yeah, and they're really coming out again. They're really, really, big and getting fluffy again. I notice a lot of people have allowed their dwarf nandinas to lose that dwarf attribute. They do need to be cut back on occasion. just to keep them dense growing, more compact. They get ugly and leggy if you don't cut them back.
Okay. What other plants are you noticing this time of year?
The dwarf Yaupon hollies are doing nicely. They took a little bit of a hit. They're a little late this year, but they're coming out just fine. And the crepe myrtles are popping out real nice. And there's some variation in the emergence on crepe myrtles. Some of them aren't coming out at all, and some of them are coming out a little bit late. I have a big one in the front of my house, and it was extraordinarily late this year, but then, golly, 2 days, what a difference a day makes on that one. It really has leafed out nicely, and I'm looking forward to a really nice show of the crepe myrtles this year.
And what should people be doing with their crepe myrtles right now?
Right now is the last time to prune your crepe myrtles. We were at a house, yesterday. And the customer is talking about that. It said you can do some minor pruning on them right now. I wouldn't go too overboard at this point. And we did do a prune a crepe myrtle just because it was too large. We did another one at another house yesterday, and got it toned back down to where it needs to be. But anyway, you still have a time to do some pruning on your crepe myrtles if you missed it. In about 30 days from now, they're going to start differentiating. Ooh. That's when the adventitious tissues on the tip switch over to blooms instead of leaves. So they're going to be doing that in a little while. So if you forgot to, or if you need to trim your crepe myrtles, you better get after it really soon so you don't miss out on the blossom shell.
Anything else people need to be doing with their crepe myrtles after that?
Fertilizing will be good right now. They respond pretty well to broad-spectrum fertilizers. Broad spectrum, meaning it's got a good supply of trace elements in it. I do know they do respond very well to increased magnesium content in the fertilizers and so on. So you could supplement them with maybe some Epsom salts to help the chlorophyll production do very well.
All right. Well, we have Larry Glass with us for Green Country Gardener this morning. I think we'll take a quick break and we'll talk about what's happening at Green Thumb Nursery.
Okie doke.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals, and Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses, so we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring has arrived, and like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in, and they now have their new shipment of herbs in, too. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333.
Hey, have you noticed all the new landscaping downtown?
That new landscaping does more than just add beauty to our community.
Really?
It's a rain garden, part of the community's green stormwater infrastructure plan. It uses natural vegetation to absorb rainwater, reduce flooding, and manage the effects of storms. It's one of the ways our community is managing the connection between how we use our land and manage our water resources, providing multiple benefits for all.
Learn more about how planners are working to help communities at planning.org. Brought to you by the American Planning Association.
And welcome back, Garrett Giles with the Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, answering all of your gardening questions on this Saturday morning. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, you can call us at 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. Again, if you have any questions for Larry Glass about what to do with the garden, maybe you're freaking out a little bit because of the weather, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, we've talked a little bit about crepe myrtles. We talked about red buds. We talked about a whole bunch of different trees. What should people be doing with their fruit trees right now?
At this point, the fruit trees, you need to make sure they're properly watered. Well, that's kind of a given right now.
Well, they should
and,
be.
And you really want to avoid a lot of systemic insecticides on your fruit trees at this time, because it'll get into the fruit, perhaps. And I don't know that it'll hurt you any, but still, it's just not a good idea to do that. You want to watch for borers on them. Look at the trunk. Look for bleeding on the trunk and lesions on the trunk. And at this point, what I do is I get my pocket knife out and just dig them out. And just enjoy the fruit. Now, you can spray them with neem oil. Neem oil is a very environmentally friendly fungicide / insecticide. And it can be used at this point in time also. Copper fungicide is a good one to use also. It's fairly benign to other stuff, so you can use that on there too. I do it on mine. And there's an insecticide also that I like to use, spinosad, which is a microbial type, not really microbial, it's derived from a microbial process, but anyway, it's another insecticide you can use on them also. So you put the spinosad on the trunks at this point, too, to help control borers as well. So really, you just kind of need to be observant, really, of the whole tree and look for invasions of insects. Now, on my plum trees, I've been getting a lot of fruit drop. I get that every year. It looks like, I'm not going to have any plums. Oh, no, they're all falling off. But if they're not pollinated properly or something, they just don't. We have a caller.
We do have a caller.
The fruit just kind of drops off, so it's not unusual. We got a caller.
We do have a caller, and good morning, caller. How can we help you on this morning? You're on the Green Country Gardener.
Thank you. I just got through putting in a little old garden. I think I got some dirt, sandy dirt down here, down by the river.
Right.
And I put a couple of bags of the Miracle-Gro in it, because then I was kind of wondering what else do I need to put in it.
It's difficult to say. There's some variability in the sand content and the silt and clay content in the soil we get from the river. What you really kind of need to do is when it's fairly moist, just kind of rub it between your fingers, and if it feels a little bit gritty, you'll probably be pretty good to put in some organic material. But if it feels really smooth, kind of like actual grease, which it does sometimes, then you might want to add some coarse sand and a lot of organic material.
Okay.
Yeah,
that feels kind of gritty. It's got about like 50-50 on sand and dirt. It's pretty good soil so far. I just kind of figured I'd call. I put a couple bags of that Miracle-Gro. It's kind of like potting soil or whatever. I got a little tiller and tilled it up.
Right.
And I got thinking, well, maybe you need something else to put in it.
Well, after it rains, take a sample of the soil and roll it up in a ball and drop it from about hip high. And if it falls apart, then it's pretty good stuff. But if it just kind of hits the ground like a ball of bread dough, then you probably want to add some more organics to it.
Okay. That's about it, huh?
Yeah, that's about it. Another thing you can do is get you a 1-quart mason jar and fill it half soil and about 3/4 up to the top. Maybe half and half soil and water, and shake it up real good. And let it sit for a few hours. And what will happen is you'll get a good analysis of what's in your soil by looking at what responds to gravity, what settles the fastest. And your sand will be on the bottom, and then your clay will be next, then your silt, and then your organic material will be on the top. And that'll give you an idea proportionally what your soil is made of.
Okay. Never thought about that.
Yeah. When we buy some stuff in, I'll do a separation test like that to tell what's in it. So when we do landscaping for people and we bring in some soil, I know how to respond to the soil that we get.
Okay. All right. Well, sure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Sure now. Yeah, we got some of that, and I did that on a number of occasions. And a lot of times the organic material is just a thin little strip on the top. The rest of it's just clay and silt and sand and stuff. So anyway, so whoa, we really have to amend this soil here. So getting back to your fruit trees.
Yeah, you were talking about plum trees. I didn't know if you wanted to expand on that anymore. Or?
Yeah, and peach trees. The peach is the fruit is developing on the peach tree, and you really have to kind of keep that pretty well sprayed for insects. They really do like to go after those peaches. And that's where you can use the neem oil and the spinosad to help keep those insects under control. And really, peaches, you should have put down some fungicide this last winter, the copper fungicide, to help keep the peach leaf curl down. Peach leaf curl is when the leaves kind of do that.
Okay.
Curl under like that.
Yeah.
And it's a disease that will also get carried onto the fruit and cause some scabbing of the peaches, too. So anyway,
how many peach trees are normally planted in Oklahoma? I feel like that's not normally common, but maybe it is in Oklahoma. Peach trees,
yeah, that's fairly common. Porter peaches, you know, pretty popular, and actually up in Kansas, there's some good ones up around Wichita too. So they're pretty adaptable plants, but they do real well in Georgia too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But.
Yeah. So anyway, so peaches they'll grow here, but we just need a little bit more attention. Also, when planting them, you want a good 30 feet between your trees. And we don't always have 30 feet, but especially on peaches, you need to get all the way around them to maintain them. Right. And so if you're looking at some fruit trees, keep all this stuff in mind. Drainage has to be good. Air drainage has to be good. Look at the soil. Look at how healthy are the weeds.
Right.
That's a good indicator. And then they're pretty adaptable plants. But the biggest problem we have with our fruit trees are borers in this neck of the woods.
Right. And you talked about plum trees. You talked about peach trees. Now, what other fruit trees should people be looking at?
Cherry trees do pretty well here, too.
Okay.
They're more drought tolerant than a lot of them. So I've had success with the cherries and the plums, mainly because that's all the room I have for. And the fruit develops quickly, too. So you have less of a pest invasion on those. So
I think we
pretty,
might have a caller there, Larry, that might be asking about fruit trees. I don't know. We'll find out.
Right. Put them on.
Good morning, caller. You're on Not Consumer Calls. Sorry. Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. How can we help you?
I wanted to ask Larry about my apple trees.
Apples. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. I've got a lot of extra growth on this one, the Golden Delicious, a lot of small twigs. Does it hurt to cut them off?
Are they closer to the main trunk?
Yeah.
Those are called water sprouts. And
they go all the way up the tree.
Yeah, usually that's a sign that the tree is under some kind of stress. So
really?
You want to inspect it pretty closely for borers.
All right, I did. I didn't see anything like that.
Okay, well, how often is the tree fertilized?
I do it about twice a year. Okay. Put it out around the edges, just on a lawn.
Okay, so
put some extra.
So just keeping them pruned, you want to keep the interior of the tree pretty well clear of branches and leaves.
I've been doing that. I've been clearing that out. I've watched you show me a couple times how to do it.
Okay.
So I just come up with a lot of extra little growth this year.
That's interesting. Well, anyway, without really seeing it, it's difficult to diagnose. However. Typically, when you get a lot of water sprouts, it is a little bit of stress on the tree.
Okay.
It could be, is it really tight in the ground? Doesn't wiggle at all in the ground?
Is it what?
Does it wiggle?
No.
The root system's really good on it. So,
yeah.
So it just could be just growing then.
Well, that's it. I think it's just put on a lot of growth. Every year it is and everything, and I just wondered if it...
Yeah, my plum trees...
Trim that little stuff out?
Not at all. In fact, you really should. My plum trees did that last summer, and I pruned it all out. And they're doing very well this year. So.
Okay. But does it hurt to prune it now, those small ones?
Oh, not at all, no.
Okay, good. That's what I was wanting to know, because I think it needs to be cleaned out or it's just going to drain the nutrients.
Yeah, after I pick the fruit on my plums, I usually cut them back even in the summer like that. And they, golly, they just bear like crazy the next spring.
Okie doke. Thank you.
All right. Thanks now. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Sure. Okay. Anyway, that's kind of it with fruit trees. Just keep the spraying up on them, and you know, try to use the organics as much as possible. I think we can have better fruit that way.
Sounds good. And if you have any other questions for Larry Glass, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers, if you have any gardening questions for Larry Glass, are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Say, Myrtle, look out there in the pantry. Ain't that cute?
What's cute?
Your new shelf paper with all that cute little fellers on them. The ants acting like you're going to a picnic carrying all that food.
You darn fool, put your glasses on, because then there are real ants moving about.
Well, I'll be. Look, there's one crawling up my pant leg.
I'm going to call Pratt Pass to Bartlesville right now.
We can't get ants out of your pants, but we sure can get them out of your pantry. Call 918-336-BUGS. That's 918-336-2847 for Pratt Pest of Bartlesville.
Buy 1 gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium with Weatherall Protection, get one free. It's buy one, get one free on Easy Care Ultra Premium interior and exterior paints or Woodman stains at Peter's True Value in Dewey. If your walls need a new coat of paint, why not get the best of the best? Easy Care Ultra Premium, finished paint and primer. And when you get it from Peter's True Value, you get a second gallon free. Same goes for your exterior. Buy 1 gallon of Easy Care Woodman's exterior wood care per deck, siding, and fence, get one free. But only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
And we're back with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb for Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, feel free to call us 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, if you have any questions for the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass, call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We've had a couple calls in this morning already. The last gentleman was asking about apple trees. I think, as you were saying before we came to the break, there, Larry, that we were done with talking about fruit trees. But if you have any fruit tree questions, again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. But what's happening in the vegetable garden?
Vegetable garden, it's time to plant those warm season seeds. Beans.
Beans.
Beans. Many time to plant those. The okra coming up, it's time for that too. So really a warm season crops right now. You should have had your peas all already picked already.
But not the peas on the red bud, right?
No, you don't want to eat those pods off the red bud. I don't know, they might be edible. I don't know. It'd be pretty cool if they were.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I wouldn't recommend it if we don't know.
And I don't know yet. So if your soil is really heavy, you might want to put a little gypsum in it. The CaSO4, 2H2O, it adds some calcium to the soil. It does help slow down the blossom end rot on your tomatoes. And it does give some sulfur on there. And also magnesium sulfate will lower that pH a little bit on your tomatoes. And we've got a caller.
We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. What questions do you have for Larry this morning?
I just wondered if he was ever a Sunday school teacher. The way he explains everything thoroughly.
If what now?
If he was ever a Sunday school teacher.
No, never was. No. Okay, well, thank you for calling. Oh, I've never been a Sunday school teacher, but I imagine I probably could. So anyway, getting back to vegetable gardens.
Yes.
The plants need basic nutrients in it. And our soil here is fairly young. It's only a few million years old. So we need to add a little bit of stuff to it.
Sorry, I saw a flash, and I thought maybe it was like lightning or something. Boy, I thought it was the phone at first, but yeah.
Just a flash from the past.
Yeah, but I don't know what that was. That was weird.
But anyway, the magnesium sulfate adds some sulfur and some magnesium. Magnesium is the core element in the chlorophyll molecule, as is ours. It's very, actually, chlorophyll is very similar to hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. The only difference is the plants had magnesium, and we have iron in our blood, which makes our blood red, and that makes the plants this Vulcan green color.
Right. Vulcan green, I like that.
So anyway, so they have a magnesium base on them. So it's just kind of like giving them iron pills, I guess. I guess you could kind of relate it that way. And it does
Vulcan
help.
Pills.
If your tomatoes are struggling, probably it's just simply a magnesium deficiency. And the Epsom salts will help lower that pH a little bit too.
Okay.
They do like a slightly acidic soil, like a pH of 6.5, for them to do really well. And another thing on your tomatoes is, as they're growing, you want to pull the leaves off the lower part of it, so you have bare legs on your tomatoes with stuff on the top.
Why is that?
Well, when the raindrops hit the ground, they splash, and then they splash up bacteria and stuff from the ground up onto the leaves. And also when you're irrigating, that happens too. So and then the bacteria that's in the ground is carried up there, and it keeps it from getting on the leaves.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a problem with that. You can also mulch. I like to use straw, really. Lots and lots of straw on the ground when you're planting tomatoes. They seem to do real well with that. It maintains a more uniform soil temperature, a more uniform soil moisture content when you apply a heavy mulch on top of your tomatoes.
Okay. Now, what if you don't have it necessarily planted in the ground? It's like a pot. Do you do like the same procedures or?
Well, no, it's a little different. You could put some surface material on there to help prevent the splash on that, but that would be in the form maybe of some cedar mulch or something on the surface. You can also exercise companion planting on your tomatoes, too. Plant a lot of marigolds around them and whatnot like that, and that does help them with insect pests and things.
Okay. What other vegetables in the garden should people be kind of looking at right now?
Of course, the okra. Did you know okra is a member of the hibiscus family?
I did not know that.
As is cotton. Hmm. So hibiscus. Anyway, that's probably why it does so well. Hibiscus does really rather well here. So okra is a very popular plant. And radishes, you can plant them anytime. And I've got onions in my garden. Pretty good size right now. So
cool.
So anyway, so there's a lot going on right now. Tomatoes are the most popular plant to put in. And I like to put them in when the ground moisture gets really warm, and I don't like to apply mulch until you get some warmth on the ground, some temperature on the ground. So that's kind of it with vegetables and things. Just try to keep the soil pretty well cultivated, try to keep the weeds down, rotate your crops. In other words, don't plant tomatoes in the same place every year.
Yeah.
You might have tomatoes and then okra perhaps, and then trade them all back and forth.
All right.
Alternating years.
And we still got some time. Just want to mention that number one more time, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. If you have any gardening questions for Larry Glass, again, call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We've been talking about fruit trees. We've been talking about vegetable gardening. Larry, what's happening in the lawn this week?
The lawn this week. Well, Bermuda grass is up and growing really quite well at this point in time. It's heavily feeding. I haven't noticed a lot of stoloniferous growth yet on it. It's still kind of sticking its foot in the water as far as really growing real fast is concerned. I think after this rain comes and all that, it'll really start to take off. You need to apply monthly applications of fertilizer to the Bermuda lawn. I did mine last night. I put some 34-00 on it as it's a nitrogen application with an iron and sulfur. Iron sulfate on top of it too. It makes the sidewalks nice and orange, and it does help deepen the color. It gives this Bermuda grass a distinctively deeper color. It works well for zoysia grass as well. It does help darken the color of the zoysia. The zoysia is more of an olive green color for the most part, and adding some iron to it will help deepen that color. And the Bermuda grass will really should really, really soon start just kind of taking off. So it's a warm season grass. It likes it kind of hot. And we've really only had, as far as hot weather is concerned, basically just this week. Because mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, it got, 41?
Yeah, it was pretty chilly, and this week's been hot and humid.
And it's definitely not conducive for the growth of Bermuda grass. So it's really going to start, if it hasn't already, it's going to really start taking off. I still have some spots in the yard where last year's crabgrass did grow, but I did manage to avoid the emergence of crabgrass this year through pre-emergent applications. So I don't have crabgrass. I was out fertilizing the yard, and the neighbor stopped me. He was mowing his grass and said, "What do you do to your yard?" I said, "Well, it's not the best looking yard in town," but he says, "Well,
What's your secret, Larry?
Looks better than mine. What do you do to your yard?" I say, just fertilize it on a regular basis. I don't have a sprinkler system, so I can't water it in when it gets really hot. So I really try to get it up and healthy before it gets dry. And I raised the mower level up as time progresses during the summer. And it's set, right now, it's set at 3/4 max. So I've got one more setting and then a setting after that before we really get to the ultimate height of it. So you want it fairly high, too, just so it tolerates the drought a lot better.
So it's about a midway point on the height for the blade?
At this point, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I said, we just, and I told the neighbor, I said, just put the fertilizer down. And he said, well, I've got all these little blue flowers everywhere. I said, yeah, that's a weed everybody gets. And you can alleviate that by putting a pre-emergent herbicide down in the fall. Because these plants are very covert. They've already bloomed already. Their seeds are all over the place, all over the yard. And they just sit there all summer long. And then when it starts to cool down consistently in the fall, these weeds sprout. And they just kind of sit there underneath the grass all winter long, waiting for the length of day to start increasing after the winter solstice. And it gets to the point where the temperature kicks in a little bit. Then you just, they just take off.
And we're getting to that point, yeah.
So the timing is very critical on the control of weeds in the garden.
And how do you control the weeds even further?
Well, I do prefer to actually have a thick turf really over applying so many weed controls. So that's probably why I have just some weeds right now. Not a few, but some. I can tolerate some. But I do like to watch the robins pull the worms out of the ground, and I don't like to, you know, do that to the robins. So, but anyway, right. That's a kind of a personal thing. I can tolerate a few weeds for the birds. So it doesn't bother me at all to have just one or two little dandelions here and there. It's not the end of the world, but the animals tend to thrive in it real well. So it's a little bit weedy.
Just a little bit, and that's okay.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Could be way worse.
When the neighbors stop you and admire your yard, it can't be
it's
that
good.
Bad.
Yeah. When they're asking for your secrets, it's not that bad.
It can't be that bad. So anyway, so weed controls, you know, you get a little bit of leeway here and there, and with some planning, you can't avoid that.
Well, Larry, I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We'll talk more about getting rid of those pesky weeds, and we'll talk about what's happening at the nursery.
Okay.
Be right back with more Green Country Gardener.
Spring has arrived, and like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in, and they now have their new shipment of herbs in, too. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
One theft every 6.5 minutes. 156 thefts every day. Car thieves appreciate all the help they can get, so here's a shout out to the more than 57,000 drivers who admittedly made it easy for the thieves last year. 57,000 who left the keys in their vehicle and had it stolen. A 22% increase in just a year. Old habits die hard, and thieves can't help themselves, especially when it's so easy. So why is it so difficult for some people to turn off the car, take the key or the fob, and lock it up before they walk away? Turn off the ignition and lock your vehicle every time you get out. Don't leave keys or fobs inside. Put all valuables out of sight in the trunk or take them with you. Lock it before you leave it. Don't make it easy for the thief. If you know something about vehicle theft or insurance fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Ooh, crazy is what they think about me. Ain't gonna stop cause they tell me so.
And welcome back. I am your host, Garrett Giles. Joining me is Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, the Green Country Gardener. Talking a lot about weeds. Do you still have anything you want to say about weeds that people need to know about before?
Well, some of them are edible, actually.
Okay.
But, you know, there's more nutrients in dandelions than there is in broccoli.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's. I mean, I'm kind of hungry right now. Did you bring any dandelions for us to try out today?
No, but you go out in the highway over there by the water towers. There's a lot of dandelions there, and they just get on your hands and knees and graze, I guess.
People might look at you funny, but you know.
What is he doing out there?
At least you're getting your nutritional value in you.
We're having lunch, a little ranch dressing and a little table, you know. Anyway, so weeds. So weeds are a little bit of a trouble. And they can cause some stress for some people, but to me, it's just part of life. But anyway,
totally.
So you have to learn to tolerate just a little bit of them because they're just everywhere. But. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Well, what's happening
at the nursery? At the nursery, we've got all kinds of cool stuff. There's some new boxwoods out there I really like. The Baby Jade, the Baby Jim boxwood. Really nice. And the reason why they're called Baby Jade and Baby Jim is because they don't get so big. A boxwood itself, I have some in my yard that we pull out of other people's yards. Oh, that'll look good on my house. So they're 6 feet tall. In an area where grass wouldn't grow, so we just have, you know, plants. But anyway, the boxwoods will get fairly good size. It's just, they get really big. However, these are a dwarf, as the name implies, Baby Jade and Baby Tim. They stay really quite small. And they do that by through genetics. They through breeding and crossbreeding and all that, they come up with a boxwood that has the internode is very short. And that's the secret behind these being small is it thinks it's a really big plant, kind of like a miniature poodle or something. I'm a big dog, but they're really very dwarf because of the distance between the leaves is very, very close, and that causes them to be rather dwarf.
Okay.
So try those out. We planted a lot of them in the landscape. They've been very successful. They survived very well this last winter, and the color on them is a good, clear, green color. And for something in the wintertime, they're very good to have. I noticed that they didn't change color in the winter. The green color persists throughout. So try some of the miniature plants like that. The Kaleidoscope Abelia is another very popular one. It kind of fills in the gaps where we need some kind of color in the summertime, but people don't want to do anything with it. This makes a good one. You get the yellow foliage, primarily yellow foliage, a little bit of red and some white and a little bit of green in it too. And it does put a little pop in the landscape as far as some yellow color is concerned. That it doesn't get so awful big. Stays very compact in size.
Okay.
And then there's a sunshine ligustrum. Well, you know, people say, well, ligustrum doesn't grow here. Well, typically it doesn't. But this is actually the genus for privet. So I figured if they called it sunshine privet, it just wouldn't sell. So they use the ligustrum, the genus of the species, in order to identify this plant as a sunshine ligustrum. And it is a good plant. I guess this bright yellow color is sort of akin to the barberry, the golden barberry, which is really just brilliant yellow color in the landscape. However, this one does so in the absence of thorns. So so anyway, and it's very easy to manage. You really don't have to prune it. You can cut it back. It will gain some density if you were to prune it, but otherwise it stays very well in bounds. And it, as with other privet plants that have lots of seeds and lots of babies all over the yard, this one doesn't do that.
Why is that?
It cannot, it doesn't develop flowers.
Okay.
So. Right. So it's a pretty yellow plant. Another pretty yellow plant is the Julia Child Rose. And over at my house, Julia is just going crazy.
Julia's going crazy.
She's, yeah, lots and lots of butter on the plant. It's a very nice yellow rose. It's a good petal count to it. And so it's really very attractive at this point in time. So,
are there any other roses that you guys have at the nursery?
Oh, golly, we've got, I forget the name of it, but we got a good red one right now, which would be a good replacement for the knockout rose. I can't remember the name of that. But anyways, if you're listening to me at the nursery, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, you'll see it there. It's a red rose, and it has some fragrance to it and so on. So it's a good, it's a bit more refined. It doesn't get so awful big as the knockout does.
What other plants are popular at the nursery this time of year?
The Obsession Nandina is another good one. And we have planted this one in several landscapes, and it's just been a big success. Primarily because, number one, it doesn't spread all over the place like most Nandinas, like the old-fashioned kind of Nandinas. It stays in place real nicely. The color of the newly emerging leaves persists throughout the summer. In other words, it has this burgundy, purple or red leaves on it on the tips, and it's just colorful foliage basically all summer long. It's a very attractive plant. It's called Obsession Nandina. It's a really good plant to have.
It sounds like an obsession. Sorry, I had to be funny this morning.
And another plant that's popular in the landscape are the sun patients. Mm-hmm. They're they can do pretty well in the cool weather, the wet weather, and they can take some heat, but you'll have to supplement the watering when it gets really hot. And they do like a very organic soil. So you get about, a flat of sun patients, get a couple bags of compost too. It's $8 very well spent on these particular plants, because the root system can really grow out and exploit this compost real well. And it does a very good job of just putting on flowers all summer long.
All right, Larry, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. We'll talk more about what's happening in the at the nursery, and we'll kind of close out the show.
Okay, dope.
You're building the home you've always wanted. Look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Are you concerned about your health but anxious about undergoing a necessary radiology exam? Many people are. Know what to expect and how to prepare by visiting radiologyinfo.org. You'll find over 235 easy-to-understand descriptions of radiology procedures, exams, and treatments. Ease your concerns and visit radiologyinfo.org today. Produced by the Radiological Society of North America and the American College of Radiology.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. But for the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word. Life-changing and devastating, because sarcoma is cancer. Sarcoma is a cancer of bone and soft tissue more prevalent in children than in adults. More than 6,000 people lose their lives to sarcoma each year. Treatment options for sarcoma are limited, and new therapies are desperately needed. More research and increased awareness is necessary to find a cure for a cancer that you probably didn't even know existed until now. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America is determined to help those affected by this forgotten cancer, to bring hope to the children and adults whose lives are forever changed by a word they had never heard before. Please help us in the fight to find the cure for sarcoma. For more information on sarcoma and the work of the Sarcoma Foundation of America, please go to curesarcoma.org.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Show on the radio on this Saturday morning. I'm your host, Garrett Giles, and joining us again is Larry Glass, as always. Larry, what else is happening at the nursery this week?
Well, landscaping. We're very, very busy doing that right now. Trying to work around this weather is a real, real fun thing. And golly, I'll come home just covered in mud. But it's part of the deal.
Tis the season.
So anyway, to get those landscapes in, sprinkler systems are pretty up and coming right now. So you might want to consider that too. If I recall, reading on the radio's webpage, we now have water rights to Copan Lake at a reasonable price.
That is correct.
So I don't think there's going to be a problem with the water shortage we had. And when was that, 2011 or something?
I think it was 2007, maybe.
Oh, boy, that dates me back to 2007, when there were cattle skulls on the reservoir.
cattle skulls on the reservoir. Now we have plenty of water through 2060.
So we got plenty. There's good water right now to have, so go ahead, and if you want a sprinkler system, we can design one. And the key word there is design. They're just like wiring a house. You really can't run the whole house on an 18-gauge wire. It just simply won't work. Your lights won't be very bright. You got to do it properly, you know. So I always like to introduce a little bit of over-design on a sprinkler system. So I've had a few scares in the past when that didn't work by no fault of my own. Somebody forgot to turn the meter on all the way in one case. I go, oh, no. Then I figured it out. And another one there, I guess they were working on the water line, and the pressure just dropped to almost nothing at this one house. It's run very well ever since.
And you were telling me people were playing tricks on you at one of those cases, correct?
But I have figured it out real quick. So anyway, sprinkler systems are very good to maintain your plants, because it does get kind of droughty here in the summertime. If you really want, you know, the pretty lawn and the pretty landscape, you might consider doing that. We put in sprinkler systems that have either a rain sensor on them, or we put internet ready. Since I've got one at home I use on my drip system, and I can turn it on here on my telephone, or turn it off really. But anyway, it taps into the weather service and shuts your system off when it's going to rain. So that's pretty smart. A good way to save water and save a little bit of money. Anyway, come by the nursery, 4605 Nowater Road, on the south side of the road behind the ice cream shop, and enjoy all the bountiful color we have at the nursery. Yeah. Keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir, and we'll see you next week, as he said, and we'll be right back with more news.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and